Hi guys, and welcome to Fatherhood. You're listening to the Dads Group podcast. We're a national movement with local communities made up of new and expecting dads connecting, learning and growing alongside one another. On this podcast, we open up what is happening inside the minds and hearts of real dads. My name's Adam. I'm part of the Dads of Ashgrove, and today we chat with another local Ashgrove dad, Simon Hepson. Simon's a financial planner by profession, and he's going to speak with us today about reducing financial stress by reducing uncertainty. Before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we all meet on today. Pay respects to leaders past, present, and emerging, and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people we have listening to this episode today. All right, fellas, so we've been kicking off all of our episodes lately with a bit of a check-in, so I'd like to hear from you both. How are you going out of 10? Simon, we might kick off with you. How are you going out of 10, mate?
Yeah, mate. 11 out of 10 to be chatting with you guys today. So ready and keen.
Nice.
Dude, lifting the game already.
How am I going to compete
in the bar?
What gives you that extra point today, mate?
Coffee. just, you know, honored to be part of the podcast and be able to chat and hopefully help a few dads out there.
Nice. How about you, Blair? Where are you out of 10?
Oh, look, mate, I think, like, out of all honesty, I think, you know, just sitting down having a chat with you guys is putting me up there. But, you know, I'm crook at the moment. I've been having, I was sharing with you, Adam, earlier, I've been having the sweats, man. Like, so just fevers, and I threw up yesterday. And, kids, mate, like, seriously, the amount of diseases they bring home from school is, it does my head in. But, yeah, so I'll go between a, you know, 4 and a 5, but you know, coming here brings me up to probably 6 or 7, which is awesome. And I'm actually really keen because we've chatted before, you know, the three of us have chatted before, and just man, I just love these chats, man. I really just love these conversations, you know, about fatherhood and just encouraging one another. It's just great. So yeah, I'm pumped.
Nice, man. I'm probably sitting at a 7. I did a bit of work travel over the last couple of days, but yeah, I was excited for this chat as well. So I'm getting up there, 8, 9. You know, maybe your financial advice today, Simon, they'll give me a few extra numbers there, get me up to a 10. But just to introduce you to our listeners today, why don't you start off by letting us know just a bit about your family, how many kids you got, your missus, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I have one child with my wife, Ali. So our little boy is called Harvey. He's about 13 months old now and starting to think about the time where we don't call him 13 months or, you know, an age by months. So he's getting to be a proper toddler now and throwing tantrums, which is just the best, isn't it?
All the fun.
All the fun. And he's a perfect height when I'm carrying him right now. This is exactly where you wanted the podcast to go. But the perfect height right now that when he kicks off and he's having a tantrum, he's kicking me in the nuts.
So yeah.
Oh, man.
That's where we're at with the family.
Man, I get it. I so get it.
But for the moment, just the one. But, you know, hopefully number two would not be too far away.
And so you mentioned Ali, and you guys actually combined your names, right? So have I got that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we decided when we got married that we'd be a bit different, as we always do, and honour both sides of the family and start our own legacy and take the first part of my name, my surname, the second part of hers, and smash it together and form Hepson.
Nice.
Which I've been since told that that's a very common thing in Scandinavia. So.
Cool. There you
not
go.
That that had any bearing on our thought process. We had no idea previously. The only thing we checked with it, though, was to make sure that we weren't choosing a terrible surname. Obviously, you know, you have a choice. You want to make sure you're choosing a good one. So we chucked in Hepson, Henson, and with one end, two ends. And we thought, okay, we should probably Google it. You know, Jim Henson, Muppets, probably not that one. Can't tack onto that family tree and get an inheritance somewhere down the line. So we thought we'd check two ends on the end and went, yeah, this is pretty nice. Got a good ring to it. Looked at it on Google. Number one brand of adult diapers in Malaysia.
Well, now you know.
Now you know.
You know.
So we didn't choose that one.
No.
Sorry to say.
Oh, well,
that's hilarious. So just when you're traveling through Malaysia, just, you know, one end.
number one. Yeah.
All right. And we've got two fun questions here. First one, what did you last spend money on being a financial planner? Like, we want to know how serious you are about your profession. And the second one, and it's a bit deeper, you just met yourself on day one of having your kid. What would you say to yourself? So first one, what did you last spend money on? Second question, you just met yourself on day one of fatherhood. What would you say to yourself?
Yeah. So what did I last spend money on? I want to give a good financial planner answer and say something really cheap. So recently on the weekend, bought a Nespresso recycle bag for work and shall be reimbursed through work for that purchase. So
win, mate. Well win. Done.
In reality, though, the latest thing that we bought was a robot vacuum cleaner, just because parent life. And,
oh, man. It has saved us, like, seriously, 20 minutes a day of cleaning, dude. Like, we've got one. I love it. We use it every day. Oh, no, that's not true. I was going to say we use it every day. No, we use it. And that's all I need to say is we use it sometimes.
Yeah.
But it is amazing. Like, when we have to vacuum the house, you put it on and it just takes care of the house, picks up all the crap. It's great. Sometimes, literally, that's not great. But
we've all seen that meme, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We know the one we're talking about. No, I know it's actually an upgrade one. We had one for 3.5 years and it started to hit the fritz. And got one that can mop as well now, because the choice for us wasn't, we run it every day and that's because we like to have a neat house. It's just we run it every day because otherwise it's just piles of dog fur and just crap everywhere. So just minimum maintenance. So that's really what we spent money on recently. It's not a good financial plan answer, except when you think about the comparison to hiring a cleaner. Capital cost of a robot vacuum much lower than the cleaner. So, thinking investments,
long-term investments.
That's it. So the second question, I suppose that's a big one. You know, day one, what would I tell myself? Aside from you'll get used to having no sleep, I'd also say to myself, mate, just enjoy every day, and it's difficult to think every day this is an amazing fun time and I should treasure this moment, and there's definitely moments where you don't, and I haven't, but you need to remind yourself, or I'd needed to remind myself, to make sure that I am thinking about how this is a great moment in time, and this is precious time that I get to spend with this screaming rage tomato. And but it all seems, you know, you think forward and go, okay, well, in a year's time, I'll look back and think how sweet it was that he was just starting to cuddle. And even if it was because he was throwing a tantrum and kicking my nuts, it was still a cuddle. So that's what I tell myself.
Well, I'm fine. Well, today we're talking about reducing financial stress by reducing uncertainty. And we've got Simon here because he is one of our dad's group dads. We're actually both today representing the dads of Ashgrove up here in Brisbane. 4060 represent. And we actually think, this is unverified still, but Simon and I actually think that we are the only dads in Dads of Ashgrove that live in Ashgrove. So just goes to show that if you're out there and you're thinking about, like, I want to be part of Dad's group, but there isn't one in my local area, totally, like, just transplant yourself onto another Dad's group until you can get that momentum up, start your own Dad's group in another postcode. But, yeah, totally, like, all of our dads essentially don't live in Ashgrove, and it's called Dads of Ashgrove, so we may have to rebrand that one eventually. But Simon is a financial planner. And so we've been talking, the three of us, actually it was on Harvey's first birthday. Simon and I, our boys are essentially the same age. They're about to be in daycare together in the same class. And so we were at his first birthday and we were talking about actually a podcast episode I was on. And I said, oh, we should totally get you in. And, you know, like, you present about financial planning and Simon presents at different conferences, that sort of thing. And I thought, you know, you've got the wisdom here. How do we take this and bring it into that dad space? So that's why we've got Simon here today. And Simon, I wonder if you could just give us sort of an idea of where do we start with reducing financial stress? What would be the first thing that you would say to a dad is the starting point about reducing that uncertainty?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it really, I think that the best answer is to just rip the bandaid off and get started. Don't let it build up in your head as this just mammoth thing that just is this worry wall blocking you from making any progress. Once you get started and find some useful educational tools, and we'll talk about some today, but just getting that first step, that first baby step, is the best thing you can do to start reducing uncertainty, because you'll soon find that you're hitting your stride, you've got momentum, and what seemed like an insurmountable thing at the start, you've just crushed and gone amazing. I've by taking just one step at a time, figuring things out as you go, and not letting it build up in your head, you make huge amounts of progress.
Mm-hmm. And talking about that progress, like obviously when you just have a kid, all your financial goals sort of go out the window, or that you have to readjust them. So talk to us about what would you see as the things that dads could be thinking about in terms of their financial planning or their financial goals, their financial mindset?
Yeah, I mean, a really big uncertainty and area of concern for new families is the budget and making sure that, okay, we can spend what we need to spend on all of the things that there are to spend on. It's a limitless thing, and there's so many products out there which are great at reducing struggles or improving quality of life, but they cost money. So trying to figure out, okay, well, where's the budget sitting? How comfortable are we? And, you know, when you make a decision to buy something or spend on a service, that you can do so with confidence as well. So the budget really is sort of the foundation block that unlocks all the other areas of personal finance. There's other really important things which we probably won't get to talk about today, but things like reviewing insurances, like your life insurance, income protection, getting that done before the third trimester of pregnancy, and well before that. Insurers generally won't let you change in that final trimester for mums. And generally, parents need to do it together to actually get it done, just practically speaking. So other things like that. But a budget is really a fantastic starting point with reducing uncertainty.
Yeah. So could you talk to us? So I like that point about it's about creating that confidence of, you know, you're spending your money on the right stuff. You're not just throwing it away. So what would you say are sort of those good starting points in the budget? Like what should we be thinking about as dads with the, like, what is the point of a budget even? If we can start there, what is
absolutely. So there's a saying that comes to mind. It's you can't manage what you don't measure. So you can't get a hold of an understanding of what your money is doing and how much you've got to spend on things, whether it's, you know, discretionary spending or it's just core necessary spending, but what's going to be left after that? How comfortable do you as a family feel about that spending? So you've got to measure so that you can manage. And budgeting is this huge, dirty word. It's just, again, this insurmountable beast of a thing. And it really doesn't need to be. Again, just getting your foot in the door, getting started with a budget really is the biggest, best thing you can do. As a family, a really good idea is before baby comes, if possible. And reality is you're going to need to update a budget every now and again. Doesn't need to be every day or every week or every month. Like, it can be a couple of times a year or once a year if that's the only time you can do it. You find what works for you. But getting it done and getting it started before you have the first kid is ideal, or as soon as you possibly can. If that's, you know, after first or fourth kid, that's absolutely fine. Just get started. The way to sit down and do it is to try and carve out a bit of time with the key people in the family, so obviously spouse, or if you're doing this sort of on your own, then with just yourself, or with, you know, someone that you trust to talk money through. So, you know, friend, family member, really useful to have ideas and people to bounce ideas off. But sitting down, making time for it is the first thing. There's so many different tools out there, and we'll talk, I suppose, more about the specifics on tools as we go, but it could be as simple as a spreadsheet, or it could be as complex as these apps that track all your spending and categorize things. And again, it's about finding what works for you. So I can't remember what the actual question was, Adam, sorry.
No, you got it. Yeah, you're all over it. So we've carved our time. What do we do next? What would you say is, because I know for me, I hear you say budget, you can sit down and do it once, twice a year. I'm like, hallelujah, let's do that. All right, so how do we set it up that it can work for us? We carved out that time, what next?
Yep. So have a look at income as the natural starting point, and really the easiest place to start, because you can look at a payslip, or you've got a pretty good idea in your head anyway about what your earnings are now and looking forward for the next 12 months. The best budget is done on the actual spend and actual data over the last 12, 24 months. You tailor that to whatever you can manage, but ideally 12 months. You want income and then all the other expenses to be adjusted for what's coming up too. It's no use knowing what was spent in the past, but if things are going to change dramatically, like having a kid, then need to update that too. So starting with the income is a really, really good part. You can get down to the nitty gritty and put in each single dollar, but I'd recommend not doing that. Just pop into the closest, you know, couple of $100 for income or expenses is really going to do you fine. So,
right. And then, so we've got our last 12 months of income and expenses. We've got a good picture. What sort of tools would you recommend we could use to then sort of utilize that data in an effective way moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a really key part, is to get tools that can help you just manage things and work in with the way that you want to work with a budget. I don't get prescriptive with clients about budgeting, saying, okay, you must do it this way and track it that particular way. But generally it's okay. Spreadsheet is the very minimum, and there's a fantastic one on the Money Smart website, the government initiative, moneysmart.gov.au. I think we'll have the link in the show notes as well. There's a budget on that website that you can download and fill in, and it's a great set of prompts to go, okay, well, I didn't think about the doctor spend, you know, the medical spend, or the coffee bill, or there's tolls that I pay for work and all these sorts of things. So it's got all those prompts in there, and you can fill in and say, okay, well, based on what I did for the last 12 months and what I expect is going to change going forward, I think tolls might drop a little bit because I'm spending a bit of time at home or working one day a week from home, that sort of thing. So the spreadsheet is sort of the minimum I'd recommend. That Money Smart one is fantastic.
So I just looked that up, right, that website. And so it's saying 20 minutes to do. Is that, do you reckon from your experience, that's probably about right, 20 minutes? Around about?
Once you've already got what you've spent in the last 12 months, then looking forward, yeah, it will only take about 20 minutes or so.
Because that's what I think I wanted to highlight that point, because a lot of the talk about financial planning and stuff like that, before my wife and I started doing it, that sounded huge. Like, I'm like, where do I even start? This is going to be so massive. And I just wanted to highlight that time frame is like, look, to start off with, it's going to be more than 20 minutes, but like, it's not a big job. Like, it really isn't. It's actually very achievable to do. And so tools like this, we haven't used this, and my wife and I are actually really waiting for this episode to come out because we're going to go through it together. But we want to go through this website now too and update our financial planning for sure. But yeah, just to highlight that, is actually really achievable to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point, Blair. And that's a fantastic thing to keep in mind, and the idea with this baby step, and don't let the mountain of worry get in the way with these things. It's just get started, because you'll find that a lot of the time it's a lot less effort and a lot less concern once you just get started as well. The other thing I'll note with the spreadsheet is when you go to update it, whatever frequency you do, you know, at least yearly, ideally every 6 months. If you want to go less than that, fantastic. But it won't take anywhere near as long to update because you've only got little chunks of time to worry about, and you get in the habit of doing it too. So it just becomes sort of second nature. A part of making a budget feasible and manageable is to not try and track every single dollar because you're just going to burn yourself out. You've got far too much stuff to worry about with, you know, nappies, with all the stuff that being a parent's about. Plus, you want to be able to spend some quality time with family. And you've got to do that work thing sometime too as well. So trying to track every single dollar is just a recipe for failure. So get it 95% of the way there, both when you're looking back at the first 12 months to get this started, but also ongoing. And then don't sweat the small stuff. It's try and find the bigger trends that are coming out. And we probably should talk about that initial data gathering, that first 12 months, because that in itself, that takes probably about an hour or so sitting down to do. And what I recommend people do is use a program that can help identify repeat expenses, like Woolies is groceries most of the time. Chemist Warehouse is the pharmacy. You know, I don't represent these brands, but it's just, yeah, do not endorse, but just
you can tell we both do our shopping at Ashgrove, because yeah. I know exactly those same stores.
Just the ones next to
it. That's my budget is Chemist Warehouse, Chemist Warehouse, Chemist Warehouse.
There's a GP clinic across the road too.
That's my GP.
Yeah, there you go. So these programs exist, and a lot of the time the banks even have them built into the software there anyway, so you can log in. I know CommBank has one of these, ANZ has one. I'd be surprised if banks don't offer this anymore, because this is a fairly common thing, fairly simple for them to do. But what it does is automatically categorizes your expenses, and you can go in and tweak that data and say, okay, well, no, Woolies is actually groceries, not whatever the computer's picked up and said it is. And it should be able to then go back and say, okay, well, Woolies, all these other times, we should pop that in the groceries bucket. And then going forward, when you're spending money at Woolies and using this program, it should also fall through there too. So keeping an eye on what you're actually spending becomes a lot easier using some of these programs. So spreadsheet minimum, these programs are a fantastic way to leverage some automation to help life.
Yeah, great. Okay, so we've got our spreadsheet. We've got all our different categories of expenditure in there. We've got our income in there. We might have an app as well that's categorizing our spend, so we can see, okay, we're on par with where we were last year. We're doing, you know, we're spending less, so that's great. We've got a bit of extra cash. We've just found out we're about to have a baby.
And congratulations. Yeah.
Well, I haven't personally, but like just hypothetically, I just gave my wife a scare, I think.
Yeah. So,
hypothetically, for our new dads out there, you've just found out you've had a baby, you've been tracking your expenditure, now what? Like, and how would you approach that? Or how would you, like, and this might be more from your perspective as a dad than as a financial planner, but, you know, like it's almost like mind-numbing or mind-blowing, like just how expensive a baby is. And I don't know about you guys, but my wife had it down to a cost of, you know, if we have to get the anesthesiologist in, like that's going to cost us X amount more. And so we had like almost worst case scenario, this is how much birth is going to cost us. And then it was the next stage. So talk us through some of that. How do you rearrange some of those financials to make that work? And what resources can dads draw on there?
Yeah, great question. So like putting the question a different way is, you know, you've got all this amazing data of what you're actually spending, and then you sort of look forward and go, well, what do I actually want to do with my total amount of money each year, you know, or each period, whatever period you want to work on? you know, what do we do? Let's say I want to reduce my spendings and increase the amount that I'm putting towards savings ready for baby to come, to deal with uncertainties, to build a bit of a war chest, whatever the goals are, right? I always suggest starting with big ticket items that happen infrequently or that are just core to life anyway. So examples of this are, you know, spending your time reviewing your insurances for, you know, the home and contents, the car, the, you know, personal insurances, all those sorts of things, because they're big expenses. And if you spend a bit of time there thinking about what's needed versus the cost, and even just shopping it around, especially with things like car insurance, home insurance, you can shop it around and oftentimes get pretty big discounts. So that's a pretty big payoff for the effort involved. And this is just a thing as a dad, you know, you've only got a limited amount of time to do things, and then take some of that time away, and then that's what you've got left to, you know, try and fit everything else in. So trying to hit things that are really powerful for a small amount of work involved is the best place to start. So what I suggest is looking at that list of expenses on the yearly scale. So it measures, you know, how many coffees you have a week, and it's $5 for whatever coffee costs nowadays. I don't buy coffee, so I don't know. Financial planner. So then you can see, okay, a yearly cost on coffee is, let's say, $2,000, and my electricity bill is also $2,000. Well, if I change my electricity provider and get a better rate and a better discount or whatever the situation is, and I save $500 there, that's sort of, in effect, call it a day's work, right? In calling around, doing some Googling, looking at what plans there are, you go, okay, great, I can save $500 that way. Whereas if you want to try and make that same saving with coffee, you've got to make that decision for a lot of times during that year. You know, it might be once a week you drop a coffee. You've got to think about that every time you buy a coffee, like, oh, is this the one I'm going to cancel today or what? It's just a lot of effort for the same amount of return. So that's the point I'm making. You know, try and find things that are big expenses that you can focus on sort of once or twice a year and get some savings built through that.
I like that, because I tell you what, I do not have enough awake brain cells to be disciplined enough to not have one or two coffees a week. I need that caffeine, man. So I like that idea, like looking at those big chunky costs and going, okay, like how do we reduce this? And yeah, especially when you have a kid, like it's, you do take on so many more insurances in terms of, yeah, as you say, health insurance, you want that car insured, you know, even if you start looking at some of that life insurance stuff as well. You know, it's adulting like 202 at this stage. So yeah, being able to look at those costs on a yearly basis and go, okay, like there might be something cheaper out there. I really like that idea, because in the moment, I know for me as a dad, yeah, I can't forsake coffee. Or, you know, like if you're short on nappies, like it's not like you can go, well, we've used up our nappy budget now, so you know, you're running around.
You
know, we're going to wrap it.
There's a big cost to it.
And look, honestly, we were doing some water play with my boy on the back deck, and he crapped himself all over the back deck, which, you know, so nappies are, you know, that's where the money's going. I'm sorry, Mark. that's where the money's going. So yeah, I'd much rather, and I'm sure for a lot of dads, like thinking about it in that sense of like once a year, if we can just look at health insurance, car insurance, whatever, get a cheaper rate, and that means we don't have to worry about all of those little incidentals throughout the year. Heck, yeah. That's a win right there.
And I love what you said as well. Like you said, how'd you say it? You said like that's like a day's worth of work, you know what I mean? $500, which is so true. My uncle has a saying, like, I ask him, like, oh, you know, should I buy this or whatever else? He's a builder. And I'm like, should I do this extension on my house? And he's like, look, you could, like, you get a loan, but then you got to think about it. Like, how many days a week do you have to work to be able to pay that off? You know what I mean? And that's like, rings so true to me, mate. And like what you said there is like, you know, we could spend, like you said, Adam, like just a day a year to look at all our big spendings like that, and is there a cheaper option? Because that could save me a week's worth of work in the end, you know what I mean? Like it could, you know, of all the savings that I could make, and it could go towards other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing as well. Like you're not likely to drop your work by a week because you figured your budget out, but it means you've got a week of extra spending to go, okay, well, either that's to this discretionary thing like this extra toy or this little family trip, or just to put in the 10 for a rainy day, which is a really good idea and obviously a fantastic thing to have is that rainy day buffer to deal with the uncertainties and even build it into the budget. You know, whatever you think is uncertainties, it's a really important thing.
And that's like, especially when we look at stuff like inflation and rising mortgage, you know, rates rising and all of that sort of stuff. Like, you know, when we're talking about reducing uncertainty. So that's where we can reduce that uncertainty about how we're going to pay if prices keep rising. If, you know, COVID has another outbreak and there's no toilet paper, how can you know, like ship it in from Japan? I don't know, but like, trying to reduce that uncertainty. So, and I think for me, like I think about, and Blair, you might comment on this as well, but like the way that we've been budgeting is really intensive and it is so much work that we often just sort of push it to the side and do other stuff instead. But like, I like this idea of every 6 months, like, send Bub off with the mother-in-law and they can, you know, have a day together and we can buy some coffees with the money we've saved from car insurance or whatever. And we can just look at all of that, look at the cost breakdown. And like, to me, that just seems so much simpler than how like it's portrayed, I guess, of, you know, sitting, you know, crunching numbers for hours on end, just trying to find these savings wherever possible or trying to reduce like our eating out or whatnot. Like, you know, I think this is such a simple way of approaching how we do the money thing. I don't know, Blair, what about you? You said that you and your missus are looking at, you know, after this episode, changing up how you do it. How's this sort of helpful for you and how do you see it being implemented within your process?
Well, you've just given me a bunch of ideas just then, Adam. get rid of the kids first step.
Just to the budgeting. Just to the budgeting.
Oh, right. But I think like we've Amy's done really well. So spreadsheets, she created her own spreadsheet for budgeting and stuff like that. She did really, really well with that. And I took a lot more of a back step for that. Just numbers just do my head in. But going forward, so that's you're exactly right. So we want to be intentional, right? You know, that whole saying is you prioritize the things you're in your calendar. You know what I mean? Like, so work-wise, you'll put things in your calendar because you need to prioritize it. You know, that's with us across the board. So financial planning, we'll put that in our calendar and say, this is the day that we're going to do that. Just like with anything else with our family, this is the day that I'm going to take Charlie for a one-on-one dinner or whatever else, like my oldest boy. Just being intentional with it, putting it in the calendar, being organized and holding it as a priority. I think, like, again, just that analogy that we said before, you know, how many days is this going to save me of work? Because we're not in a financial place to be able to really take this for granted, you know what I mean? So this is stuff for us. It's like, but that's the life that we've chosen. We don't want to be caught up in earning a lot of money. We actually want to work less so we can really invest in our family. So how we do that has got to be very planned. You know, we have to be very intentional with our spendings and whatever else because of the life that we've chosen to live. So this is awesome. Again, like, this, it's just that I think the biggest thing that I'm getting from this interview or this chat is just how easy it is to do, because like I said, you know, I've sort of shared a little bit about our financial planning before, but that was all Amy. You know, to be fair, she did it all, and for me it was because I was overwhelmed with the idea. But what I'm loving out of this is like, oh man, I can so do this, man. Like, I can really do this. And it's not an issue. It's actually going to benefit us so much if we can do this well. I'm just a sponge at the moment and just like, oh, I've got to take all this away and put it into practice.
And I think just to build on what you were saying, Blair, about, you know, the choices being intentional about what you're spending money on and like having things in the calendar, and it's more likely to get done. It's also really useful to think about budgeting and sort of turn the frame of reference on its head and say, well, this is about empowering us to do the things that we want to do and feel confident and stress less about money. I mean, that all sounds pretty amazing, right? And it doesn't take this ginormous amount of work and effort. You know, you get some tools to help you, at least a spreadsheet, but even those apps, the ones at the bank or separate apps, there used to be one called PocketSmith, but to be honest, not sure if it exists anymore. But that was a great tool. You could upload the last 12 months of your bank transactions from all different banks, search through, it would learn what the spending is, all those sorts of tools. But it's about empowering you to do the things you want to do.
That's great.
Simon Blair just mentioned about, you know, for his family, it's all about trying to reduce that need for money and increase that amount of time spent with one another. So, you know, that's a financial goal or a financial priority for Blair and his family. I know for us at the moment, a lot of our financial goals is around our property and trying to increase some of that equity in our home loan. And so, like, we went to a financial planner, my wife and I, and he actually said, oh, you probably, your questions are probably better suited for a mortgage broker than a financial planner. And like, we were really, even before that step, sort of like, well, should we see a financial planner, and is it worth it, and how will a financial planner help us? And I guess for some of the dads and some of the parents, some of the couples listening to this today, like, there might be that question of, well, how will a financial planner help us? How do we find one? Does it match up with our goals and where we're at in life at the moment? Could you talk to when to go to a financial planner, how to find one, and I guess if you could sort of speak into that space there of, you know, because I know for us it was really confusing. So
and it is sort of similar-ish to budgeting. When you're looking at it from the outside in, it's this sort of black hole of, I'm not really sure what goes on there, what do you actually do day to day. So when to see a financial planner is sort of when life changes happen. A really easy example, relevant example, is when you're planning a family, or you're adding new kids to the family, or you're starting to even think about things like, okay, how am I going to pay for school fees if we want the kids to go to private school, or have a gift when they're 21? You know, what sort of things are you looking for, and starting to think ahead about money? It's a good trigger point to go see a financial advisor as well. For new and expecting parents, and for young families as well, who still haven't got around to looking at the insurance side of things, that's a really key part. My job as a financial planner is to grow people's wealth to achieve their goals in life, whatever they are. That's how I work. But at the same time, I've got to make sure that they're protected to have a reasonable quality of life, or an ability to have a reasonable quality of life, should something drastic happen, should the unforeseen happen. So that's where the insurance steps in. That's normally a really good starting point for a young family who aren't sure, should I go see a financial planner or not? That's actually a really good thing to go and do, is have the insurances reviewed. And there's a lot of financial planners set up who either specialize in just doing the insurance side of things, or who do a lot of that and also can help with some of the other goals-based considerations, like, you know, how do we get more equity in the home? How do we spend more time with the family? How do we get this amount of money as a gift? Whatever those things are. So that, in terms of timing, sort of when life changes happen, thinking about new family, or you want to start proactively moving towards some goals that you've got. How to find one is a tricky thing. I don't have a silver bullet for that one, unfortunately. The best thing to do is to look in your local area, do some Googling, look at Google reviews to see who might sort of align well with what you're looking for. There's a couple of different, and I could spend, you know, wax lyrical here about the differences between financial planners and things to be aware of, but I guess some really core messages here are just be aware of and ask how they're getting paid, what sort of value they're going to be able to bring, what the next sort of the actual process of financial planning looks like in your situation. It differs for everyone. And try and understand if there's any conflicting incentives in the background. Now, obviously, there was a Royal Commission into Financial Planning and Banking Services a few years ago, which was a really good thing. You know, sunshine is the best disinfectant. It's pretty shocking what came out of that. Now, personally, very far away from any of those sorts of things, I would just put out there, but it's really reassuring to know that there's some focus on consumer protection, but it is still a thing, you know, the buyer beware idea. Unfortunately, there are still not 100% fantastic financial planners who are still out there. The majority, vast majority, are absolutely fantastic and very worthwhile. So I'm not trying to dissuade anyone, but just go in with eyes open and understand what the incentives might be and know what you're going to be up for in the process. And are they actually going to give you value for money? That's a really, really important thing. To try and help, because we get questions about this a lot. You know, so people call up the firm that I'm at and just saying, look, you know, I found you on Google. Just want to have a chat and see if we're the right fit. And we would turn away, to be honest, probably 90% of the people who call up because we couldn't give them value for money. We're very honest about that up front. So we've put together a resource on our website, which if you're happy to, Blair and Adam, we can share on the show notes. But it's 6 questions you can ask a financial planner before you engage with them. So it gives you some insight, sort of lift the hood a bit. Mm-hmm. What are some of the key things to understand that's going to help me understand what this financial plan is going to do for us and are they going to be good value? So very happy to share that.
And I can recommend those 6 points because I use those myself. So definitely very helpful.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So look, getting in and seeing a financial planner, obviously I'm biased, but I think it's a fantastic thing to do. I've seen the benefits it can bring, even families who might think, look, you know, we don't have much in the way of assets or spare cash right now because everything's going towards baby, but even just protection, there's still a lot of value and benefits seeing a financial planner either ongoing or just once off can bring to.
Sweet. Well, Simon, mate, it has been super insightful. I know I have a whole different way of looking at budget and money, and you've reduced a lot of financial anxiety in myself and therefore my family. But look, thank you, mate, for coming with such practical and simple tips for our dads, you know, particularly our busy dads. You know, life is crazy with newborns, as we all know here, and trying to balance everything. So to get it down to like an hour and a half of initial work and then, you know, 20 minutes once or twice a year of spreadsheet, app, good to go, I think that's just a huge, 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 huge win for dads in terms of, yeah, being able to step up into our role of fathers to be that provider figure that we inherit traditionally, but then also to still have time and energy to love and play and have fun with our kids as well. So thank you so much for lifting the curtain on what has probably for a lot of dads been quite a stressful, uncertain thing. And so, yeah, I really appreciate your time, mate, and looking forward to catching up for a coffee soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll be seeing each other at Dad's Group, right?
So. Yeah, that's right.
And that actually, if I can make a parting comment, that's a huge recommendation is to join your Dad's Group. And because this is a fantastic resource of just other dudes who know what you're going through without even having to explain what you're going through. Just empathize and just understand what's going on. We can even give you insights as to, you know, hey, what did you actually spend on this stuff? Did you need that thing? Did it actually work out? Was it really useful? So even in the terms of budgeting, it's a fantastic place to just chat and talk and even get ideas about you know, what dad's pay requires, what partner pay is nowadays. It's all changing, of course, but all these different insights. And hey, what did you do about daycare? What did you do about funding this and that and the other? So really relevant for budgeting and finance, as well as just a fantastic place to meet other dads.
So there you go. If you can't wait for a follow-up episode with Simon, then you can join Dads of Ashgrove and we'll do a personal consult. Thanks again for your time, Simon.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Awesome. And we also want to thank our listener for tuning in today. If you haven't already, go check out our website at www.dadsgroup.org. In this space, we've got some awesome resources for support for families, new and expecting families. There's a lot of mental health support there by some amazing organizations. On this website as well, you can also support Dad's Group through purchasing our merchandise, or a solid donation would be amazing and help us impact the lives and of new and expecting families all around Australia. But thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Cheers, guys.